Silka and Kokot, we would take the blessing of Shishi, Rukmini, Dwarapadish, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, and our spirit Acharyas, and all the assembled Vaishnava devotees, so that in the course of our discussion, we do not make any offenses or make any mistakes in our course of our discussion. Now we shall start our prayer. Om Adhyana Srirangasya Jana Jana Shravaya Chashuram Yena Ratme Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Visham Kavitam Yena Bhutai Vayam Bhukhara Mayam Gadadi Swapadandikam Vandeyam Shri Guru Shri Ravadam Shri Guru Vaishamsa Shri Rupam Sarajatam Sadhvaitam Savadutam Parishahaitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sadhanam Vrita Shri Shadam Kamcha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Vrita Vardhu Chakarpate O Krishna Kupika Kanta Radha Kanta Namurthate Kappad Karcha Kodhan Kena Kena Vrishri Krishna Sushe Devi Pranami Hare of God, Shri Krishna, has summarized the whole Veda for us. So every verse has so much meaning. So we should see its meaning in the context of the chapter and of the whole Gita. So in chapter 12, we start chapter 12 with a question. Arjuna is asking a question to Krishna. He says, oh, Krishna, I'd like to ask this question. Who is more perfect? As we know, there are two types of transcendentalists, the impersonalists and the bhakta, the devotees. So Arjuna first asked this question, who is more perfect? Those who is practicing impersonalism, those who say that God doesn't have a form, is that practice more superior, or the devotees who worship your personal form? So Arjuna is putting forward this question to the Supreme Lord and says, please kindly tell me who is more perfect, the impersonalist or the devotee. And from the second verse to the seventh verse, Krishna gave his opinion. Krishna says, your devotees who worship his personal form by fixing their mind onto him. Krishna says, this type of devotees who focus on his personal form, he says, this is most perfect. And Krishna also tells Arjuna the difficulties of impersonalism. He says, those who practice the worship of the impersonal Brahman is both troublesome and very difficult. So this is very troublesome to perform, and it's very difficult to make progress in that discipline. So Krishna actually says, please don't take it up. Impersonalism, not so good. It's troublesome and it's difficult. And Krishna says that it's so troublesome, it's so difficult. What does this impersonalist finally get? He says, this impersonalist, finally they also worship my personal form. You can hear a lot of people say all the roads lead to the same destination, but why take a longer road? Krishna says, why do you want to take a longer route? That says, you can give an example by taking MRT. That says you want to go from, let's say, Orchard Road to Newton. You should take the northbound train. But instead, you take the southbound train, then take the east train, make one big loop, then you come to Newton. So what's the point? And those who are familiar with the MRT system here, it's a loop system. Instead of going up north just one station, you go the whole loop, 30 or 40 stations to reach the same destination. So that's the path of impersonalism. At the end, you reach the same destination. So Krishna says, please try to be more intelligent, take the direct path. Don't take the path of impersonalism. And of course, in verse 7, Krishna says, Tesham Aham Sam Gata Mrityu Samsara Sagara Babami Na Chirat Pata. So Krishna says, O son of Pata, for them I am the sweet deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. Tesham Aham Sam Gata Mrityu Samsara. I am delivering them from this Mrityu Samsara, this cycle of birth, death, disease and old age. So for who? Krishna Allah says, Mahi Aveshita Chitasam, for those who fix their mind onto me, I'm the sweet deliverer. So Krishna gives the guarantee also, if you fix your mind onto my personal form, I'm the sweet deliverer. But we have to be Mahi Aveshita Chitasam. That's the requirement. So we start the chapter with a question from Arjuna asking who is more perfect. Krishna gave his conclusion from verse 2 to verse 7. Krishna says, this is my conclusion. So after that, Krishna from verse 8 to verse 12, Krishna is very kind. He tells us which is the highest stage. But he knows we can't do it. We can't do this Mahi Aveshita Chetasam. Not possible for us. For neophyte, this is not possible. We cannot fix our mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Krishna very kindly gave us 6 processes from verse 8 to verse 12. Okay, these processes are also bona fide. Krishna says you can't do this principle of remembering me, fixing your mind onto me. You do these 6 processes. Of course, the first one he says, just fix your mind onto me. This is the highest. If you can fix your mind onto Krishna, that's the best. But however, because we do not have love for God, we do not have this love, our love is now, this particular love has been transformed to lust because of contact with Mahamaya. Because we have this material body and we are under the control of the three modes of material nature, our pure love for Krishna has been transformed into this lust. So So we have no love and attachment for the Lord. So how can we fix our mind onto the Lord? So the Lord very kindly gave us another path. He says, if you can't do this, follow the regulative principles of Bhakti Yoga. He says, if you can't fix your mind onto me, please surrender yourself onto the lotus feet of a spiritual master and start to practice Sadhana Bhakti. Practice the regulative principles of Bhakti Yoga. So that in this way, you can reach the stage of fixing your mind onto Krishna. So this path is recommended by Krishna. But however, we know to start this process of Bhakti Yoga, we need a lot of faith. We need to have a lot of faith. Because people do not understand how to start chanting. It's very difficult. We all know we walk through this path. We know how difficult it is to chant initially. It's so difficult. It's so difficult. And we do not understand what the scripture is telling us. It's so difficult to start this process of Bhakti Yoga. So Krishna says, never mind, you try to work for me. Which is the word we discussed last week. You try to work for me. What's the meaning of working for Krishna? Working for Krishna means you have some money, you have some time, if you're not interested to chant, you're not interested to follow the regulative principles, please sacrifice your time and money to do some service for Krishna. In the form of painting books, building temples. You see some people go to temples, they give money to the Lord for building temples. These are recommended. Krishna says, if you cannot follow Sanada Bhakti performing devotional service, please do one thing. Work for me. Sacrifice some of your work for me. And today's verse, Krishna says, if you are even not interested, let's say someone is not interested in Krishna consciousness, or someone who cannot practice because of family or object very strongly, because of his religion, or he belongs to a particular religion, if you give up that religion, you'll be condemned in the society. So much difficulty is there. The Lord says, doesn't matter. Give up all your results of your work. And in the purport, Prabhupada says, you give up your wealth for some good causes. We will discuss later the details. And of course, in the verse that yet to come, verse number 12, the Lord says, even if you cannot sacrifice your wealth to some good cause because you do not have so much luxury, you need to maintain your family, Krishna also prescribed meditation. And lastly, he says, if you can't even do meditation, please try to cultivate knowledge. So these are the six processes of approaching the Lord that is recommended from verse 8 to verse 12. And after describing the process of approaching the Lord, from 13 onwards to the last verse of chapter 12, from 13 to verse 12, Krishna says to Arjuna the characteristics and the qualities of the pure devotees. Krishna is very scientific in presenting Bhagavad Gita. First, he tells you which one is the best path. He says, the best path are the best. Then he tells you the process. He also gives you the process. He says, how to reach me. The various stages, the six stages you can perform. And lastly, he also tells, if you perform nicely, what is the results? What qualities and what characteristics are the pure devotees? So he gave us to judge ourselves, say, hey, are we progressing in Krishna consciousness? He gave all the characteristics in those 8 verses from 13 to 12, those characteristics of the pure devotees. So this Krishna consciousness movement is very scientific. We tell you, when you come to this process, you chant, what will happen to you? What's the final outcome? You can't take this process, there's another process you can take. So Krishna has very scientifically outlined the path for self-realization. And of course, we look at the process, there are 6 processes that you mentioned. The last one was cultivating knowledge. Cultivating knowledge is the path of a jnani. The jnani path, so that's impersonalist. We know jnanis are impersonalist. So that's the beginning. That's the beginning. And we read Srimad Bhagavatam, it says there are 4 kinds of persons in this material world. The Kami, the Jnani, the Yogi, and the Bhakta. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, he tells us, this Kami is on the material platform. It's not interested in transcendental life. Transcendental spiritual life. So he says, when a person comes to the stage of a Jnani, he begins. Prabhupada writes, he says 3 types of transcendentalists. The Jnani, the Yogi, and the Bhakta. So in this particular verse, in this particular chapter, Krishna says the minimum you have to come to the stage of cultivating knowledge. Minimum, that's the minimum you have to do. So Now we have the whole idea of what this chapter 12 is all about. Now we shall look at the purport that is given to us by Srila Prabhupada. We shall try to go deeper into it, because without Srila Prabhupada's purport, we cannot actually appreciate this verse. It's from Srila Prabhupada's mercy we can actually understand this verse. Srila Prabhupada wrote in his purport, he says, "For a person who cannot take part or help in the activities of Krishna conscious, because family may object, because religious consideration or other difficulties, one, you can advise the person to do what? Sava kama phala tyagam. One is advised to sacrifice the accumulated results of his activities to some good causes." This is recommended. This is recommended by Srila Prabhupada. He says that, so we should understand that if anyone in this material world, if he has some money, he should not use it for his gratification. If he cannot give it to the Lord, minimum, he should use that Lakshmi, he should give it for some good causes. This is recommended here. So if we may have friends and relatives who may not be interested to practice Krishna consciousness, we should encourage them to give their hard-earned wealth for some good causes, because it is recommended here by Lord Sri Krishna. So in that respect, Srila Prabhupada gave us what we mean by good causes. For example, social service, community service, giving to hospital, national service, sacrifice for one country. These are recommended, may be accepted. Krishna, Srila Prabhupada wrote, may be accepted. If you cannot work for Krishna, these things may be accepted. But why is it recommended by Krishna? Krishna, you know this famous verse, Sarva Dharma Parityajya Mame Ekam Saranam Vraja. But why give up all forms of religion and just surrender to me? But why here Krishna himself is recommending this? He's giving up your wealth for some good causes. Why Krishna is doing this? Because it is explained in the purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada wrote, "It is also found that when one who is not even interested in the activities of Krishna consciousness gives charity to some hospital or some other social institution, he gives out the hard-earned result of his activities. That is also recommended. Because by the practice of giving up the fruits of one activity, one is sure to purify his mind gradually. And in that purified stage of mind, one becomes able to understand Krishna consciousness." So this is recommended, because before we even begin, most of us are captured by this Rajogun and Tamogun. We are captured by this mode of ignorance and mode of passion. It is said many times by Srila Prabhupada, a person in the mode of ignorance, a person in the mode of passion, cannot understand the scriptures. His mind is so polluted. So Prabhupada wrote, "If one performs pious activities by giving out his wealth for some good cause, that person is able to purify his mind gradually by charity, by giving dana. And charity is able to purify his mind. It's going to slowly come to the state of goodness. His mind is going to be purified. When one person comes to the stage of goodness, then Prabhupada grows. In that purified stage of mind, one becomes able to understand Krishna consciousness. So we can understand that this path is a gradual path, but nevertheless, it is a bona fide path. Krishna says this in the Bhagavad Gita. Give up your hard-earned wealth so that you will be purified. Once you are purified, you can take up this process of Krishna consciousness. So this is recommended. Not everyone is ready to chant 16 now. Not everyone is ready to follow the four regulative principles. So we should encourage them to perform some pious activities. And in verse 7, in chapter 7, verse 28, Krishna also says something very similar. Let us hear what Krishna says. Krishna says, Tesham Siddhanta Katam Patam Jaganam Punya Kamanam Te Dvandva Mohani Mukta Vajante Mandrita Vrataha. Let us read the translation given to us by Srila Prabhupada. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, and whose sinful reactions are completely eradicated, are free from dualities of delusion, they engage themselves in my service with determination. So in this particular sloka, Krishna is telling us, a person who can engage in the loving service of Krishna is not so common. He must perform a lot of pious activities in previous life and in this life as well. So we can see the actual value of performing pious activity is not to go to heavenly planets. The main benefit of performing pious activities is such that we may have a person may have a chance to take up Krishna consciousness either in this birth or in future births. To this point, we must understand the value of performing pious activities. And of course, Krishna says, sinful reaction has to be completely erected as well. So this is very important. By performing pious activities, slowly you can counteract your sinful reaction. But of course, to completely eradicate your sinful reaction, the only way is to do bhajante mam dritta prachaha. You have to perform devotional service with determination. That is the only way to fix ourselves on this devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna. And in the third part, Srila Prabhupada has emphasized this as well. Prabhupada says, only those who have passed their lives in practicing the regulative principles of religion, which means following the Veda, who have acted piously, highest person, following Veda, highest person, and who have accepted and who have conquered sinful reactions, can accept devotional service. So these are the three criteria to accept devotional service. He must live his life practicing the regulative principles of religion, acted piously, and have conquered sinful reactions. Only such a person can accept devotional service and gradually rise to pure knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is what Prabhupada has given us in that purport. So, in conclusion, the value of performing pious activities is such that we have slowly purified our own existence, and when we purify our own existence, we may be able to understand Krishna consciousness and take up devotional service. That is the only reason why we should perform pious activities. And we can ask another question now. How does a pious person actually come to the point of good devotional service to the Lord? How does one actually arrive at this point, taking the shelter of the Lord and his devotees? How does one actually do this? In the introduction of Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada has given us, they have described to us how a person actually picks up Krishna consciousness. What is the first step of self-realization? Let us hear from Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada has said, out of so many human beings who are suffering. So this point you must accept. Out of so many human beings who are suffering, there are a few who are actually inquiring about their position. So many people are suffering, but nobody is inquiring about their position. As to what they are, why they are put into this awkward position, and so on. Unless one is awakened to this position of questioning his suffering, unless he realizes that he does not want to suffer, he does not want suffering, but rather wants to make a solution to all suffering, then one is not to be considered a perfect human being. Not a perfect human being. And Srila Prabhupada emphasized this point by writing, humanity begins when this sort of inquiry is awakened in one's mind. So that is the first step of self-realization. We must realize we are suffering in this material world. That's the first step. If a person does not realize he's suffering in this material world, he cannot perform emotional service. Because there's no motivation for him to do so. He thinks he's enjoying this material world. He thinks that I'm having a good time here. Why should I waste my time doing devotional service? So until and unless the person realizes his suffering, then he can take up this process of self-realization. And of course we can quote many examples of how people are not able to realize their suffering. You can go to some Chinese restaurant, they have this particular food called Mala Huo. This particular food is basically, you put chili as an oil base and you pour a lot of chili on it. And after that you dip your whatever meat and vegetables into it, cook in that chili oil and eat it. in the same thing is great enjoyment. When they're eating, you know, their tongues are burning, their throat is burning, they're sweating or anything, they say, this is very nice. And even their stomach is burning, they say, this is very nice. And the next day they go to the toilet, they have a little tongue. But they still say, this is very enjoyable. Well, let's do it again this week. You can see, people do, they take suffering as enjoyment. Such is the thing. When I was studying in Scotland, I was very surprised. You can see those young Scottish, they say, what are you doing? You know, drinking your life away. You know, Friday is a day for drinking. The ladies will sit in the TV lounge. This lady, she will have one bottle of beer, well, one bottle of wine. 750 milliliters. And the wine is 12% alcohol, 4 times stronger than beer. And then they will drink that, and they don't feel anything. I said, why are you doing this? So they said, if I drink this, if I go to the pub, you know, I'll get drunk faster. Because I've already been drunk already. So, and they party the whole night, they come back next day, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, and the next day they wake up, maybe 12 noon, they have a splitting headache. They said, I have such a good time. And they say, if I vomited, it's even better. And one of them told me, once I was so drunk, I wake up beside a railway track, and that was a very good night out, because I can't remember anything. People's conception, they take suffering as enjoyment. So most people are unable to take up this process of emotional service, because they take suffering as enjoyment. Prabhupada has given this example many times, a hawk that is eating stew cannot appreciate halava. So in the same way, the person who is too conditioned by this form of material nature cannot appreciate the pleasure obtained from doing devotional service for the Supreme God. You take suffering as enjoyment, and enjoyment as suffering. So that is the position for most people in this material world. So Prabhupada has wrote that humanity, you are considered a human being only when you ask such questions. Why am I suffering? Why am I suffering so much? Who am I? You know, all these things you have to ask. And what is this sort of inquiry? In the Vedanta Sutra, this is called Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Vedanta Sutra begins from this point. So Prabhupada wrote in the introduction of Bhagavad Gita, he says, every activity of the human being is to be considered a failure unless he inquires about the nature of the Absolute. Unless one inquires about who am I, why am I here, why am I suffering, is there God, is there Creator, and who is God, what's my relationship with God, unless a person asks this question, he is not considered a human being. He's living a life of an animal. Animal doesn't know what is suffering and enjoying. As we have said, a hawk takes tools to be big enjoyment. And if a human being takes suffering as enjoyment, it's no different from an animal. And Srila Prabhupada said this so often in his purport, in his lecture, he says, we human beings, we have a high intelligence. We are given better intelligence than animals. And if we simply engage our intelligence in improving our eating, sleeping, mating and defending, what is the difference between us and an animal? What's the difference? We may think that, oh, because a dog eats from the street, I eat on the plate, I'm more advanced. No, Prabhupada tells us that the pleasure derived is the same. A dog is made on the street, we may have a nice condominium or something, but that mating is the same. The pleasure is the same. There's no difference. Eating and living in a condominium and having nice facilities doesn't make one a human being. Unless one comes to a state of Asato Brahma Jigyasa. Jigyasa means very curious about what? Brahman, about the Absolute Truth. Then one becomes a human being. This we must always remember. And Srila Prabhupada, I remember in one of his DVD, he was preaching to this educated man, and surrounding him is only his disciples. So Srila Prabhupada was preaching to this educated man. He's actually imploring him, he says, Prabhupada says, this particular point, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now, we have this human body. It is time to inquire about the subject matter of self-realization. Now is the time. Animal body, we cannot do it. We can only do eating, sleeping, mating and defending. So now this human body, don't waste your time in these four activities of sleeping, eating and mating. other form of life, you can have this enjoyment. Don't do it. Human life is not meant for this. Human life is meant for Brahma Jyotsa, asking about the absolute truth. This is the value of the human life, not sense gratification. If we perform sense gratification, it's a waste of this human life. Big waste, terrible waste. So, what are the subject matters we need to hear? Why we are suffering here? Who am I? And where I come from? What is this universe we see all around us? Is there a creator? Is there God? What's our relationship with God? These are the questions that we should ask. However, we look at... I'm running a bit out of time. Okay, so however, although we have heard answers to all these questions, why are we suffering? Because we are envious of God, you know, in the first place, in the spiritual sky, because we are envious of God. So the God says, since you are so naughty, you want to be master, that's not possible in the spiritual world. God says, never mind, I created this material world. All of us who are here, because we are all envious of God, we want to be master. God says, never mind, I created this material universe. All of you can go there and try to be master. So why we are suffering? Because all of us are envious of one another. This is a fact. Even small children are envious. Those we all have been having brothers and sisters, we know something called sibling rivalry. It's a fact. We are envious since birth. Everyone here is envious. Everyone is envious. So that's why we are suffering, because we are envious of one another, so we harm one another. Definitely suffering has to be there. And we have the next question is, who am I and where I come from? Oh, God created us. God created us, and we came from the spiritual world. We fall from the spiritual world because of our mentality, our envious mentality to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna. And of course, we know that this universe is created by the Bahiranga Shakti, the external energy of the Lord. The Lord created this entire universe. And of course, God exists. God exists. And many times people say, can you show me God? They don't believe in God, but they believe in the scientists. Very often we have people, but we look at a case, let's say we have a particular building. Let's say you see a shopping mall. You can see that the shopping mall, no one will say that the shopping mall happens by chance. Everyone will say that that particular shopping mall has been built, intelligence has gone in. Why? Because we see inside the shopping mall, there's arrangement for cool air supply, there's air condition. Some intelligence has gone to that. And there's water supply as well, some intelligence has gone to that. There's supply of light as well. And of course, there's supply of food and drinks as well. So everything, you can live in a shopping center basically, if they allow you to. So you can see that a shopping center requires intelligence. It requires intelligence to build, and it requires intelligence to supply food, air, and water. So in the same way, we look at this planet Earth. Such nice arrangement has been made. The sun is providing us with heat and light. Okay, that nice arrangement for water. We all need water. We cannot drink the sea water. The Lord very kindly made this arrangement. The sun heats up the sea water. It forms clouds. And after the clouds, the rain will fall on the mountains. And the mountains, there will be rivers running down. And it will give us constant supply of fresh water. And of course, air is given to us as well. Such nice arrangement is there. And people say, oh, shopping center is intelligent. So someone is building. But this earth planet by chance. What is this intelligence? What is this intelligence? There's no intelligence. Because these people are atheists, they cannot accept. Because we are envious of God, so God says, you want to forget about me, you want to be master of him, forget plainly about me. Even when evidence is presented to them, they don't accept. They say, so this universe by chance. Okay, shopping center, someone building. So this is the condition. This is why we are all conditioned, so we cannot accept the supremacy of the Supreme Lord. And the scientists have another theory, they say Big Bang. This universe is coming from a Big Bang. You see, the explosion created this universe. But however, you can understand, if you talk about explosion, there must be a bomb. And when you want to build a bomb, it's not so easy. It requires a lot of intelligence. And to build a mundane bomb is so difficult. What to speak of the bomb that created this entire universe? And normally bomb destroys. But this particular bomb creates. How wonderful is the creation of the bomb? So they say Big Bang, no, this is my chance. They say bomb, I build it. provides the intelligence. This is nuclear bomb, I believe. But this bomb, this nuclear bomb, what does it do? Just destroy everything. But this particular bomb that the Lord has made created everything. You see this one? By chance. No one created it. So what is the intelligence? What is the intelligence? But sometimes you hear so much on this subject matter. You hear so much. There is God, Krishna is God, this is created by God, we are servants of God, Jivera Sarupakaya, Krishna Nityaka. We heard it so often. But sometimes you feel that the faith is not growing. We can hear so many times, but the faith is not there. There's so many doubts in our heads. Is this true? In the middle of the night, sometimes we may wake up and think, is this true? Why am I waking up a Bangladeshi? Is this true? So sometimes there's a lot of doubts in our mind. The doubt is that, is Krishna really the Supreme Personality of Godhead? You know, sometimes you can see people taking up devotional service, but after some time they left. You know, what's the reason? What's stopping us from progressing? And myself, you know, we have taken shelter of a spiritual master. We are bound to try 16 rounds. We are following the regulative principles. But why are we not progressing nicely? Sometimes we find that we are just stagnant. We are just stuck. We cannot progress in spiritual life. We are just stuck. We are simply stuck on that particular point in spiritual life. Why is this so? Why is this so? The answer is actually all in Bhagavad Gita. What is the main obstacle that's preventing us from progressing nicely in spiritual life? As I mentioned, from chapter 12, verse 13 onwards, Krishna is describing the qualities of the pure devotees. The first quality, what did he say? Krishna says, Adveshya Sarvabhutanam. Adveshya Sarvabhutanam. It means one who is not envious towards all living entities. Not envy. First criteria. First characteristic of a devotee. You can know a devotee by this first characteristic. Adveshya Sarvabhutanam. Non-envious to other living entities. In chapter 13, the chapter that yet to come, from verse 8 to verse 12, Krishna has given 20 items of the processes of knowledge. What are the first two items? Ama Nitwa, Adam Nitwa. Humility and Adam Nitwa, pridelessness. So these are very important things. So Krishna emphasized on non-envious, you must be humble, there must be no pride in you. And these are actually the main obstacles in our devotional life. If we have pride in us, if we have envy in us, we cannot progress in spiritual life. Let us look at the dictionary definition of envy. It's very interesting. Envy, the feeling you have towards someone when you wish that you have their qualities or possessions. So this is envy. Envy means you see someone having something you don't have, you want to have it. This is envy. And where does this feeling originate from the spiritual sky? Because we see that Lord is being honored, we say, oh, Krishna is God, yet everyone is serving him. I also want that. So that's envious. Because we are envious of the position of God. So that's why we come here, we are envious of everyone else who has things that we don't have. So this is the definition of envy. And envy and pride, they come together. We cannot separate them. An envious person is a proud person. A proud person is an envious person. Why do I say that? You see the definition of pride. Pride means too high an opinion of oneself. We think too highly of yourself. And this is the original disease we have in the spiritual world. We think that we can be God. That's the original disease. We think we can be God. That's why we are envious of the Lord. That's why we come here. And we come here, we do the same thing again. We think that they are very good, they are excellent, we should have all the good things, other people shouldn't have it. So we are envious of other people. So this envy and pride is the main obstacle in preventing us from progressing in spiritual life. Okay, now, Krishna has spoken about humility. Humility is actually an alien concept to us. What is humility? Is humility simply bowing very down to all the devotees and saying, Hare Krishna Prabhu, Hare Krishna Mataji? Is that humility? We do not understand humility because we are conditioned souls. We only understand two things, pride and envy. That we understand very nicely. But humility is a bit difficult. So let us... Do we have time to continue? So we will have to hear this wonderful story in Chaitanya Charitamrita of this Brahmana, Vasudeva, this Brahmana. Let us hear about his humility. Because because Bhagavad Gita is not enough for us to realize, because Krishna only spoke the theory. But the practice, we can only see from Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, when the devotees are living the life of humility and non-existence. Only from that we can understand what Krishna is telling us in the Bhagavad Gita. So let us hear this wonderful story of this Brahmana named Vasudeva. And this happens in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 7. And this is the point when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started his South India tour. So, there was this Brahmana, Vasudeva. He was a great person, great devotee, but he's suffering from one disease, leprosy. You know what leprosy does to you? Your skin just rot away, there will be worms crawling all over your body, and you will smell a lot because there will be so much pus passing from your body. So this great devotee, Vasudeva, he was suffering so much, and his body was filled with living worms. The worms were eating his body away. And Vasudeva was an enlightened person. What he does, when as soon as he sees a worm fell from his body, you know what he does? He picks up the worm and places it back on his body. Because why? In Kapila, they describe the qualities of devotee. Suhidam Sabha Dehinam. A devotee is a friend, a kind friend to all conditioned living entities. So Vasudeva, being an enlightened soul, he says, oh, this is my friend, this is my brother, my sister, he's suffering from the condition worse than me, he's a worm. So why should I deny him the shelter of my body? Because my body is his home and source of food for him. I'm suffering, doesn't matter. Let this poor Jivatma enjoy it, not suffer so much. So this is the, and when Vasudeva, he's very grateful to Krishna, he didn't complain. He was neglected, everyone rejected him because he smelled so much. You cannot even go near him. So he was suffering alone, but he didn't complain to Krishna. He says, Krishna, this is your great mercy. Because please, you are giving me a chance, putting me in such difficulty so that I can chant your holy name in a very humble state of mind. Because he has nothing. So Krishna is his only shelter. So he's not feeling unhappy. On the contrary, he's feeling very happy, performing his bhajan in such condition with a rotting body. So one night, Vasudeva heard that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had began his South India tour and he's in Kuma Sitra, quite near where he was. So he was now the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he has arrived and he's not too far from me. I want to see him. He has such strong desire to see the Lord. So immediately he set off in the middle of the night to go and look for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we know a person in that condition, how difficult is it for him to walk. How difficult, but he did not consider it. Vasudeva simply set off and with great eagerness goes to Kuma Sutra to look for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when he comes to the place where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was staying, he was staying with this Brahmana by the name of Kuma, he found that the Lord has left. He reached in the morning, but the Lord has left, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has left. And what happened to Vasudeva? Vasudeva heard the news that the Lord has left this village, he fainted. He fainted. When he was in a terrible condition of having a rotting body, he never faints. But when he heard the Lord has left, he cannot have the darshan of the Lord, he fainted. Vasudeva fainted. And when Vasudeva wakes up, he was lamenting so much. He said, I must be so sinful. The Lord has completely rejected me. He knows I'm coming, that's why he leaves. So Vasudeva was lamenting so much, his mind was so disturbed. However, the Lord is very kind. The Lord is in everyone's heart. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood his great devotee has came, and his great devotee is lamenting so much because he was not there to give his darshan to this Vasudeva. So immediately Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned, and he picked up Vasudeva and embraced him. The moment Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Vasudeva, his leprosy vanished. And his body becomes very beautiful, like a demigod. So the Lord is so merciful. And what Vasudeva? Let us learn from Vasudeva's response. The Brahmana Vasudeva was astonished to behold the wonderful mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he began to recite a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, touching the Lord's lotus feet. Vasudeva Who am I? A sinful poor friend of a brahmana. Look at the humility of Vasudeva. He says, I'm a dvijja bandhu. I'm a friend of a brahmana. He doesn't even consider himself a brahmana. He says, I'm a dvijja bandhu. I'm a poor, sinful friend, poor friend of a brahmana. And who is Krishna? The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who he takes opulences. Nevertheless, he so kindly embraced him with his two arms. The Lord very kindly embraced me with his two arms. And the Brahmana continues his prayer. He says, O merciful Lord, such mercy is not possible for ordinary living entities. Such mercy can be found only in you, my Lord. Upon seeing me, even a sinful person goes away because of my bad bodily order. Yet, you have touched me. You have touched the untouchable. He's untouchable. Vasudeva says, yet you have touched me. Such is the independent behavior of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After that, Vasudeva got worried. Why he got worried? His leprosy is cured. But why he got worried? You know why? In Chaitanya Charitamrita is described being meek and humble, the Brahmana Vasudeva worried that he will become proud after being cured by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because the Lord has performed a great miracle on him, everybody is going to come to him, oh, you are such a great devotee. The Lord has personally come and performed a great miracle on you. You must be a great devotee. And now he has a beautiful body. Instead of a body not afflicted with leprosy, now he has a beautiful body. So he's worried. Now he has things to be proud of. Because he's going to be known as a great devotee. Everyone is going to come up to him and say, oh, you are such a great devotee. In the past, people just neglect him. So he's worried. Why he's worried? Because Vasudeva knows as soon as pride develops in the heart of a devotee, any service performed is not going to please the Lord. The Lord doesn't like to see the devotees being proud. The Lord doesn't really want to accept such service. So Vasudeva knows this point. So he's worried. He says, I got such benediction from the Supreme Lord. It's very likely I'll become proud. And if I become proud, my bhajan is gone. I cannot be humble. The humble person cannot perform devotional service. Trinapi, Sunichena, Taruapi, Sanisusna, Ramanina, Bhagavena, Ketaniya Sadahari. He's worried. He's worried about people praising him. And he's still going big and proud and unable to perform Ketaniya Sadahari. So he's very worried. And of course, the Lord is very kind. He advised him as such. The Lord spoke, Kabu Tumara Nahabe Abhimana Nirantara Kaha Tumi Krishna Krishna Nama. So the Lord recommends to Vasudeva, he says, Nirantara Kaha Tumi Krishna Krishna Nama. You just keep chanting the Sanskrit to the Lord. You just keep chanting. And also, this chanting will do one thing. You will never become unnecessary power if you continue to chant after this. So that's what the Lord told Vasudeva. And furthermore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also advised Vasudeva to do one thing. Krishna Upadesha. You go, please go one thing. Go and preach the glories of devotional service. And in that way, liberate other living entities. And by doing these few things, you will not be touched by this abhimana, this pride. This pride will not touch you. So this is the advice given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the dear devotee Vasudeva. So for this point, you must remember one thing. You must now remember this pride and envy, they come together, we must be very afraid of it. We must not let this grow in our hearts. If this pride and envy grow in our hearts, we cannot progress in spiritual life. We cannot. Not possible. And of course, humility definition has been given by Srila Prabhupada. It's a very interesting definition. Let us hear what Srila Prabhupada has given us in the purport of chapter 13, verse 8 to verse 12 of Bhagavad Gita. Humility means that one should not be anxious to have the satisfaction of being honored by others. This is all you must remember. We should not be very anxious for others to praise us. Oh Prabhu, you give such nice stuff. Oh Prabhu, you are singing so nicely. Oh Prabhu, you are doing such austerity, waking up early morning, every day. So sometimes, you know, we have unconsciously, we tell our bhajan to other people. Unconsciously, we'll do that. Oh, we are doing so much for the Lord. Maybe subconsciously, we may have this mentality. Please praise me. I want to be praised. Because we must remember we are conditioned, so this envy and this pride is built in us. So clearly it's not so simple. We must be very cautious of this. And if we have that mentality, not possible to progress in spiritual life. Not possible. And I shall conclude with this song by Thakur Bhaktivinoda. We must remember this teaching of Thakur Bhaktivinoda. He sang this very nice bhajan. It is meant for us, not for him. Let us see what Thakur Bhaktivinoda has for us.
Ami tu Vaishnava Vibhudi Hoile Amani Na Hobo Ami Prasthista Shati Vidodusi Vi Hobo Nirayatami.
Let us read the translation. Bhaktivinoda Thakur would like to ask to chant this. What is the meaning? If I think I am a Vaishnava, Ami tu Vaishnava. If I think I am a Vaishnava, then I shall look forward to receiving respect from others. That's the problem. Just by thinking that I am a Vaishnava, immediately our crazy mind will demand I should be respected. So this is the nature of our crazy mind. If we think that I am a Vaishnava, then I shall look forward to receiving respect from others. And if the desire for fame and reputation pollute my heart, if the desire for fame and reputation pollute my heart, then certainly, what's the destination? I shall descend towards life in hell. This is the warning and teaching given to us by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, whose disappearance day was a few days ago. So let's remember this great teaching. As I said, Bhaktisiddhanta has told us, wake up, hit with a broom 100 times. Before you go to sleep, hit your mind with a shoe 100 times. Remember, he didn't say hit your head with a broom, he said hit your mind. You cannot hit your mind with a broom or a shoe because they are material objects and your mind is more subtle. You should hit your mind with such teachings. If I think I'm a Vaishnava, then I shall look forward to receiving respect from others. And if the desire for fame and reputation pollute my heart, then certainly I shall descend towards life in hell. This is the type of thinking that we should give our mind. We should not think the room is not so effective. Okay, with this, I think I shall stop. Hare Krishna Prabhu, Hare Krishna Mataji. Please forgive me if I offended you in the course of the discussion. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. And if there's any mistake I've made, please correct me as well. And we welcome any comments and questions. Hare Krishna. There's no question, we shall end the class.